Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good morning, everybody. Oh, you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Did you come hungry for the Word of God? Yeah, well, it's just so good, again, to see new faces with us all the time. If you're visiting Family Church, again, we just welcome you. And we're just so glad to have you here. We just know this, it's not a coincidence that you're here today. God has a plan for every single one of us. And how many of you know that that plan is good? The Bible says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God's got good in store for us. You know, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything is just going to always go the way we, you know, thought it would in our mind. But how many of you know he's always got an answer? And he provides those answers to us, you know, in his word. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we just welcome you. And it's just good to have new faces all the time. Church, remember, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's all of our job, right? That is your ministry.
Yes, that's right.
Listen, don't just attend church just for you today. You're right. Attend church for the Lord and also minister to someone you don't know or you haven't met or you just honestly haven't gotten their name yet. Listen, you know, the closer we are together as a family, the more God can do in our midst. Praise the Lord. The Bible says over there in Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen. And so we love each other. The Bible says over there in Galatians chapter 6 in the 10th verse, it says, look to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. And so you look to do good, especially to those that are sitting around you in your local church. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, some exciting things going on. Of course, don't forget, we have the Erie Family Church Erie launching in January. For those of you that may not know or you're visiting, Family Church has purchased a building in Erie, Pennsylvania on Peach Street, probably a building that some of you have been in or are familiar with. It is the Amish Buggy Furniture Store. We are in contract right now. Down payment is in, you know, praise the Lord. And we will be closing on that building right before the new year. And we will be holding church starting in January, Saturday nights. If you got friends or relatives in Erie, let them know now, you know. Just a great blessing to have such a wonderful building in a very prominent location out there. Glory to God. Of course, that's a team effort. You know, the Lord has used all of us, you know, to help bring that to pass. And just think, there's souls out there that are waiting, amen, that are waiting and going to be changed forever because of what God has used us to do. And we're certainly glad for that. You ready for the Word here today? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to call this message the power of God. The power of God. Or you could say it this way, believing in the power of God. We are living in a time that these scriptures we're turning to are directly talking about. We're living in a time where it seems like Christians, even church leaders and pastors, are starting to turn more to the wisdom of man than the Word of God to try to get answers of how to influence our nation and our communities with the gospel. You know, and as we sit and we watch what the modern church is doing and we start to compare it to the Word, it starts to not match. It seems like there's a lot of methods, there's a lot of philosophies, a lot of this stuff going on that man has invented, but we just don't see it in the Word. You know, and of course, there's nothing wrong, and it's wonderful when a church reaches out to a community and does nice things, and, you know, we've done that, and we'll continue to do that. But we're talking about getting back to what the gospel says that people need, what the people need to hear, and what they need to experience. Amen. And believe me, that's not to say that this church is wrong, right, and other churches are wrong. That is not our intentions. You know, we include this church that we all need to get to the Word of God and see what it is that draws people to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to be the social events that's going to produce long-lasting fruit. It is going to be God's power. It's going to be the fact that God is going to give us answers to life right from His Word. I was speaking with a gentleman just last Sunday, or was it two Sundays ago? Last Sunday. And this gentleman, you know, he's talking, and he's somewhat local. He doesn't live right in Jamestown, but he was talking about, you know, family church, and he was, you know, a Christian man, loves God and serves the Lord, and we were talking about the things of God, and he's like, you know, I've been just kind of monitoring, you know, just kept interest in the family churches and in the Jamestown church and the other locations, and I just noticed, you know, how fast they're growing and that you're planning all these new locations. And he said, you know what, Pastor Tim, I think I have I could give you a reason why that's happening. And I'm like, oh, really? Please tell, share, you know. Not that I was fishing for a compliment, but I wanted to hear someone share their heart why they thought that. And he said, you know why? He's like, because you, not me, but the family churches are dedicated to giving answers directly from the Bible about people's life. He said, I'm watching all this other stuff go on. He said, but, you know, I read the articles, we watch the live stream. He's participated in other, you know, the family church has gone to their services and so on. He says that just everyone, they have this in common, that they're dedicated to providing answers for people's lives and not just giving some kind of philosophy or just some kind of, you know, happy, pretty flowered up message that you're actually, and he said this, he says, you just seem bold enough to take on any topic. I said, absolutely. He said, you must make a lot of people mad sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, we've made a living out of it here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I just said, but that's not our goal. Our goal is not to make man happy first. Our goal is to please the Lord. And if we will get involved with His plan has all the happiness that you will ever want built right in. But it's got to be His way. Amen. And so let's get into this, and we're going to see this, that what God has ordained to draw the people to Him is His power. Power is the difference in this last day between the seeker-sensitive movement and what God's going to do in this earth. We're living in the day where God wants to demonstrate His miraculous power. When people are up to a dead end in life, when it looks like there's no hope, that's the situation God's going to move in, and He's going to turn that thing around. When the doctors say there's no hope in your body, there's hope with the Lord. Come on now, it is going to be the difference, because all the social methods, they're going to fall short. You know what I mean? But the power of God never runs out. So let's preach on it. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, I got news for you. Perilous times are here. They're here, and they're in full swing. And when I say naturally, the world isn't going to get better. Spiritually, the church is going to grow brighter. But the circumstances in the world are not getting any brighter. Have you noticed lately? And I'll tell you what. Social methods aren't going to handle perilous times.
Good word.
You know what I mean? Philosophies of man are not going to stand to perilous times. He says, in the last days, perilous times are coming. And you can't change that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? The world without Jesus is going to turn very dark. But we're going to grow brighter and brighter. You know the Bible says that to us? You know the Bible says over in Proverbs 4:18 that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Do you know that it says over there in 1 Peter 3:10, it says, they that will love life and see many good days.
Yes, that's right.
Many good days.
That's right.
Let them refrain their lips from evil, their tongues speak no guile.
That's right.
Who will love life and see good days. God wants you to love life. He wants you to enjoy life.
Yeah,
I just quoted the verse for you.
Yes.
Amen. Right. And so that's what God has for the church. But the world's going to get darker. And we're going to see this, and I'll tell you what, the new lighting system in the church isn't going to handle perilous times. You know what I mean? Trendy rock albums from the latest Christian band aren't going to handle or tackle perilous times. You know what I mean? Church infrastructure and small group methodology. Nothing wrong with meeting with a small group of Christians, you know, and enjoying fellowship. But that itself, just the method or the church institution, isn't going to handle perilous times. We're going to need real answers for perilous times. We're going to need real power for the perilous times. The smoke machines aren't going to handle perilous times. You know what I mean? The trendy, watered-down Christian television message isn't going to handle perilous times. We're going to need real answers, and it's going to have to be chapter and verse right out of the Bible. Because only then will we have what it takes to make it through these times. And it tells us why these perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. There it is. You wonder why this world is in the condition it is. It's because men are selfish. There's greedy people at all levels, whether it's in government or in business or whatever. Greed has come in. It has taken over, you know, in this world because people just love their own selves and they won't love God. And it says that people are covetous, boasters, proud. See, there's that pride thing. Remember, we hashed that out last week. They're pride. They're proud. They're filled with pride. Blasphemers. And that means they disregard God. They disregard anything holy. They're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. They're truce breakers, not faithful. You can say it this way. They're church hoppers.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, there it is. Zing. You know, if you're looking for a church, there's nothing wrong for looking for a church if you're not being fed somewhere. Listen, if this church ever stops preaching the word, don't walk out of here. Run.
That's right.
Right? But if God's called you here or called you somewhere else, get there and be there.
That's right.
Now, of course, God never expects his people to starve. If a church wasn't feeding me, I'd get out of there and find a place I could be fed. Where someone's, you know, giving us answers right from the word. Right? So it talks about they're truce breakers. Or they break covenants. They break their agreement. They break their word. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They're false accusers. Oh my goodness. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Have you seen that? People can't just disagree anymore without being hateful about it. Traitors. Every one of these is a sermon in itself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to verse 5, but man, everything just makes me want to stop and preach on it. Heady. In the end times, people are going to be coming up with mental ideas. They're heady. You know what I mean? Everything, you know, every philosophy of running everything, well, whether it's a church or a home or a business, they're going to be getting ideas from their mind. God doesn't want you to get ideas from your mind. He wants you to get ideas from your spirit by the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Oh, people are going to get in their heads. Yep. High-minded. There they are, high-minded. That means they have a higher opinion of themselves than others. Have you learned that? The reason why you get offended at somebody is because they didn't think of you as much as you think of you. Have you learned that yet? People don't. They don't think as high as you as you think of you. Now, it says this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, if that isn't the truth. What people will sacrifice for a little leisure time. I don't know how many people have told me, and of course, I'm not preaching to you. You're here today. But so many people have told me, I couldn't be in church because of some leisure thing.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, you don't want to do that. Why? Because you're going to get sucked into the perilous times. Because that is why these perilous times are here, is that people have chosen leisure over honoring God. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But this is what I'm trying to get to here. Look what's going to be happening in these last days, the perilous times. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You could say it this way. Having a form of Christianity, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of the local church, but denying the power of it. Oh, here we go. And it says, from such turn away. People that deny the power. Notice Notice the nature of this power. It's the power of God. The word power here, literally in the Greek, is the Greek word dynamis or dunamis. All right? And that sounds familiar to us because it is the same word that we get our word for dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And literally this word, dunamis, it means miracle working power. Miracle working power. Or I like another definition of it, the ability of God. Or you can say it this way, the manifested ability of God. These end days, and notice all these things are talking about even in the lives of Christians. That these things are the things trying to creep into the church, trying to get a hold of Christians and just get them off course just a little bit. So now they just have a form of Christianity, but it doesn't have any of the power. Hence why you see the movement in this nation and across the world to turn Christianity into this social gospel, concert gospel. You know, I met with one of the leading Christian music artists. She has won, met with a couple of them, and I don't try to think of who it is, and I'm not here to criticize anybody. But there was one of them that I met with and talked with personally. And we were at the event, and we were asked to come and preach there. And there was this individual who has won, you know, all the highest awards. She might even have a Grammy Award. You know, she also, you know, she travels, you know, does Christian, you know. One of the leading, if you've ever listened to Christian radio, I guarantee you, you have heard her songs, okay? And we were backstage, and I was talking with her, and she said, because I introduced who I was. I said, yeah, I was asked by the promoter to come down and share a gospel message following the music time tonight. Yeah. And she said, yeah, I don't want you to do that. I said, oh, you know? I said, oh, really? I said, well, that's fine. I don't have to do it. I'm not, I said this. I said, that's fine. I don't have to do it, but will you do it? Will you tell people how to be saved? And she said, no, we don't really do that. I said, well, why not? She says, well, if I've done my part as a musician and a singer, that is enough to minister to people. I said, that's wrong. I don't care how many Grammys you have. I said, that's wrong. I said, the Bible says in Romans 10:8, how will they hear unless they hear a preacher? And the word preacher doesn't mean necessarily someone that is full-time in the pastorate. It means anyone that will proclaim it. They cannot get saved just listening to you sing a pretty song.
No, that's right.
They're going to need to hear Jesus died for your sins.
That's right.
You know? And she said, no, I'm sorry. We're not doing that. And the promoter, or not the promoter, but her manager, who wasn't even a Christian. Not even a Christian. And this is one of the absolute leading artists of today. If I named the name, you would all say, oh my goodness. Here, having a discussion, who will not even share a 2-minute gospel message herself at the concert. She basically said, no, the concert will save them. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, the concert won't. And so I said, well, okay, well, if that's how it's going to be, I just want you to know that I'm going to leave. And I'm going to instruct all of our people, anyone from our church that is out there in those seats in the, before the concert, I'm going to recommend that they get up and leave. And she's like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, the smile came out. The manager was trying to push me away. I wasn't trying to be aggressive. I was being polite. I said, well, okay. We didn't realize that you were against the gospel here at a gospel music concert. Didn't realize that you, she said, well, you know, I just don't want you trying to build your ministry on my coattails. I said, I understand. I said, I'm not trying to be famous like you. You know, I said, don't worry, I won't live off your fame. You know, I'm like, I understand how probably you could get some preachers that try to come in and steal the show from you. I said, that's fine. It doesn't have to be me. Why don't you just tell people how to get saved? No, we don't do that. She's like, well, finally, she's like, well, I'll give you 7 minutes. 7 minutes. And she said, I'm not mentioning your name. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. I'm not out here for my name. I'm trying to preach Jesus and him crucified. You know, so it was awkward to say the least, but I'm just saying that this is just an example of the things that are going on in the world that they think that just playing this kind of Hallmark Christianity is going to save anybody in you know, their spiritual lives for eternity. It's not going to save anybody. See, that's what the Bible's talking about. They're living in the days. There will be a form of Christianity. It will look like it on the outside, right? But on the inside, it'll have no power. Because people can sit there and they can listen. They can sit there and they can watch. But they will walk out and they will be unchanged. We serve a powerful gospel that changes people's lives, that provides answers, that challenges us, yes. It also encourages us and lifts us and gives us reason to know that there's hope for tomorrow. Glory to God. So there are those, it says, that will have a form of godliness but deny the ability of God. They will deny the miracles of God. They will deny the changing aspect of the gospel, meaning the power to change. You know? It says, denying the power. Now, notice that this power has to be denied, meaning that that power is obviously making an effort to reach us.
Oh, that's good, Pastor.
That power is making an active effort to reach us. To deny somebody means to not allow them what they want to do. Come on, all you guys remember the high school dance? And you'd want to ask the pretty girl to dance, and she'd say, nope, denied. You know, not Pastor Brad. That never happened with him. You know, I mean, think about the things, you know, let's say you try to get into a movie theater to see a movie, but every seat is sold. You get denied from what you wanted to do. In the same way, God is wanting to demonstrate his power. But notice these things are denying what God wants to do. Notice that God wants to perform miracles in your life more. I know some of you are thinking, did he really just use that illustration? Yes, he really just did. But he wants to. He wants to get to us. He wants to perform miracles. And so why don't we do our part here to do whatever it takes to allow God to perform miracles in our midst. Hallelujah. Go with me. This happened in the days of Jesus. Go back with me to Mark chapter 12. Hallelujah. I don't want to have a form of godliness and deny his ability. What is his ability? To save? To heal? To deliver, to set free. Listen, I am not saying you haven't listened to a good Christian anointed song and it hasn't blessed you. There's music that blesses me, that there's anointing on it, that God uses it to bless your life. But you understand, that alone is not enough. That alone is not enough. You know, we can't make our decision. Well, what church do I go to? Well, I want to go to the one that has the best singer at it. Well, if that's the case, you're here. Because, I mean, we're very blessed, right? But, I mean, that should not be the power of our church. You know what I mean? You know, the attraction of our church should not be our lighting system. The attraction of our church shouldn't even be our Sunday school or our children's ministries, though those things are good to have. Our attraction should not just be our youth groups, or just the excellence of the building, which we do make sure that we have, okay? But the attraction to a church is because the power's there. Because the power's there. Because that's what we're after. I don't know about you, I want the power. I can forego the entertainment. I'm not here to get entertained. I'm not following God I'm not following God just to have more friends. I'm not. I'm not following God just to know more people. Though praise the Lord that happens along the way.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even following God first and foremost that I would have a good marriage, though I have a marriage as heaven on earth. That was a byproduct of just wanting the power. Listen, get hungry for the power and everything in your life will be fed. Listen, do you desire to see miracles happen in your midst? Do you desire to have, you know, to see people just get healed in their bodies, restored in their marriages? Do you desire to watch the gospel change them, take them out of a drugging party in life? Yeah, that's what the gospel did for me. You're not standing in front of someone with a perfect past, I'm just telling you, but you're standing in front of someone whose past is gone and destroyed. Yes, I did drugs. Yes, I drank. Yes, I did awful, you know, every rotten sin you can imagine, did it, been there. But I'll tell you, you know what changed me? The gospel. Because I came to a church where they didn't try to entertain me. They didn't try to relate, and they didn't come down and live like me. They said, yeah, come on up and live like this. See, we're living in a time where every church is trying to relate. Trying to relate. You can't relate to sin. Jesus did not relate to my sin at all. He became my sin so I could be free from it. No, praise the Lord. Glory to God. This happened in Jesus' day. Let me show you. Mark chapter 12, verse 18. I want to get you hungry for the power. Get you hungry for the power. There was people in Jesus' day that denied the power. Let's go over to Mark chapter 12, verse 18. It says, then come unto Jesus the Sadducees. Now, this was a group of Jews that had different points of doctrine. And it tells you one point of their doctrine. It says, then come unto Jesus the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, okay? So notice one part. These Sadducees were believers in God. They were Jews in the days of Jesus. All right, but notice their point of doctrine. They believed that there was no resurrection of the dead. All right, so there was something from the scripture that they denied, that was in there, that was solidly true. However, they didn't want it for their belief. Do you think we got a few Sadducees in the church of God, you know, the body of Christ today, that believe in God, are thoroughly heaven bound? But they have points of doctrine they just don't want to address. They would rather just do away with that. And so the Sadducees were in that situation. They just say they believe that there was no resurrection. And they asked Jesus, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed or children, and the second, and the third. And remember this story? Remember, they're trying to trick Jesus into saying something wrong. And they said, this woman had 5 to 7 husbands, because they kept dying and kept dying, and she kept getting a new husband, new husband, new husband, new husband. And, you know, of course, it's a hypothetical. And they said, so at the resurrection of the dead, if the dead are really to rise again, whose wife will she be? Since she had all these husbands. Remember this story? Yeah. And then, of course, Jesus handles them. Go down to verse 24. In verse 23, they said, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall be of them? For the seven had her to wife. She had 7 husbands. And now they're trying to trick Jesus. Like, okay, if you believe in the resurrection. Boy, doesn't that sound like just what people do? Yeah. They try to imagine a scenario that can trump the truth of God. Yeah. You know, isn't it the same thing when Christians say, I don't believe in healing because I've seen Christians who are sick. Yeah, it's the same thing. They try to make a scenario or an excuse. Listen, it doesn't take away from the truth. Yeah. Yep, or people that say, I don't believe in tithing. Because I've seen people who tithe and it doesn't work for them. It's the same thing. Listen, you don't judge the truth by circumstances.
There you go. That's right. Good word.
You judge the truth by what it says in the Word. Watch what Jesus says. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore error, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. What was the problem with these Sadducees? Well, they had two problems. One, they didn't know the Scriptures. Two, they did not know or believe the power of God.
Yeah.
Listen, it's dangerous to not believe in God's power. Jesus said, when you decided to believe that there is no resurrection of the dead, you basically took a belief that said, I don't believe in the power of God.
Right.
It's the same thing when churches say, we don't believe in divine healing.
Yeah.
You've denied the power of God.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Oh, amen. We don't believe in prosperity. You've denied the power of God. Now, of course, that word prosperity upsets people because they hear that word and they associate it with maybe some TV evangelists that have gotten into, you know, error with it. But does God want to prosper you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You better believe he does.
Yeah.
You say, well, I don't believe that. I believe that God has led us to be poor, and that's where humility comes from. Really? You believe that? What scripture told you that? How about Deuteronomy 8:18? The Lord says, it is me that has given you power to get wealth, that I've established, that I may establish my covenant with you as I did your forefathers. Right? How about Proverbs 10:22? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Right. What about, Psalm 1:3? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Right? How about Psalm 35:27? Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. How about Psalm 37:25? David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Right?
How about Psalm 84:11? The Lord is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Yep. Right? You know, how about 2 Corinthians 9:8? You know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty would be made rich. That means well supplied.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean every believer is going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Listen, a lot of people, they don't have the character to handle it. Listen, cash without character is a curse.
Good word.
It's a curse. So many Christians, they don't have the character to handle wealth. And the last thing, if you wanted to ruin their life, give them $1 million. But with godly character, right? How about Ecclesiastes 5:19? To whom God has given riches and wealth, he will also give the power to eat thereof. Yep. How about, what is it? 1 Chronicles 29, David, when he's dedicating the temple, David looks up, he says, behold, Lord, riches and honor are of you. Right? What does it say in Proverbs 3, like starting around the 13th, 14th verse? It's actually, Proverbs 3:16, it says, behold, wisdom in her right hand is long life, and in her left hand is riches and honor.
Yes, that's good.
How about 1 Corinthians 1:30? It says, Christ was made unto us his wisdom.
Yes.
If Proverbs 3:16 says that wisdom produces riches and honor, and then he gave us Christ to be our wisdom, you can't get any better wisdom than that. But don't misunderstand me. Because people hear these things and they think that we're making money our goal. Money better not be your goal. Money is not my goal in life. People, they think, well, money's going to make me happy. No, it doesn't. It comes to people who are already happy. Come on now. You know, so a lot of times people, they get in their mind, they get misconceptions. See, the Sadducees were the same thing. We don't believe in that resurrection nonsense. Just like people today. I don't believe in that tongues business. I don't believe in the speaking tongues. I don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in miracles. Listen, don't deny the power. That's what God's wanting to do. I don't believe in that prosperity business. I don't believe in it. Well, you know not the scriptures, nor the miracle working ability of God. Because I guarantee you, you're going to come up a time in your life financially, you're going to need a financial miracle. But if you don't believe in financial miracles, you're not going to receive a financial miracle. There's going to come a time in your life, you might need a healing miracle. But if you don't believe in them, it's going to be hard to receive it. Come on now. Because you will have what you believe. Praise the Lord. He says, you err, therefore, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Notice the power of God first begins with the scriptures.
Yes, there you go. Good.
So the power is going to flow in a place where the scriptures are given the preeminence.
Yes.
Hence why My heart as a pastor is to always have these scriptures on the wall.
Yes.
Because God forbid the day I start preaching my opinion.
Yeah, right.
I better build the word into me to know what is the truth on it and not just swallow some misconception of tradition. You know what I mean? Oh, come on now. Jesus said, "You therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God." Notice they were not going to benefit until they believed in his power. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you what, I've seen people that believe in the power of God, but they're not taught the scriptures. The power will go wherever there's hunger. Get a hold of this. The hunger, the power of God is like lightning. It needs a conductor, a place to land. All right? If the power of God is going to move towards you, all right, you want to produce an atmosphere where lightning can strike, so to speak. All right? And I'll tell you what, when people are hungry for the power of God, it moves towards them. Hunger is a conductor for God's power. Okay? If you're hungry for it. You say, "Well, I don't feel hungry for it." I know probably most of you are hungry for lunch right now, you know. But I'm not talking about a natural hunger. I'm talking about a desire.
Yes.
That you've become one of those Christians that you step over the line and say, "I'm not in this just to have a form of Christianity. I've stepped over the line and become one of those radical believers." That I just desire to see God's power manifest on this planet.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see lives changed. I want to see marriages restored. And you know what? Praise God. We had an awesome church picnic. It's wonderful to fellowship. We've done wonderful outreaches. We've had festivals. We've had outreach centers. We've done Reg-Lanay services. We've done book bag giveaways for kids. We've done all that stuff. And praise God, not saying that we won't do that stuff again. But that in of itself will not change someone's life. It might be a great way to invite them in and praise God or whatever. But I'll tell you what, when they get here, they better be in the seats where they're going to hear the power.
Amen.
Hear about the power. Oh, think about how many Sadducees we have in the body of Christ today. Oh, we believe in salvation, but we don't believe he's a healer. There's actually many denominations that believe that sickness is from God. Whoa. That's interesting. I'm going to show you a verse here in a second that makes that absolutely impossible. Oh, don't be a Sadducee. Yeah, they didn't know the scripture. So, listen, there's people that can be hungry for God's power, and the power will go to them. But if the power goes to a believer who does not know the scripture, they're going to get flaky.
Yeah, good, Pastor.
I have been the first to admit that within Pentecostalism, there is a lot of excess and error. There is. The wonderful thing is that many Pentecostals or people that have Pentecostal beliefs, they're hungry for God's power and the power shows up because it is a reaction. They get hungry for God. God's going to show up. How many of you have ever heard of the Azusa Revival of 1906? How many of you know that that was a powerful revival that changed the earth? But how many of you know that there was also a lack of scriptural teaching there, and there also occurred there a lot of things that were not biblical? It still changed the world because those people were hungry. But I'll tell you what, if we just get hungry for the power without being taught the word, we'll become flaky. We'll be excessive. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people that are hungry for the power of God, but their life is just filled with instability. You know what I mean? You ever seen people like that? I mean, my goodness, they're talking about visions, they're talking about miracles, they're talking about healings, they're talking about all this stuff, but yet their personal life, they're a total wreck. Because they're hungry for the power, but they don't know the scriptures. So that's the goal of this church, to know the scriptures and believe in the power of God. What is that? Balance. The word brings balance to the miracles. How many of you know the Israelites saw the presence of God on Mount Sinai? How many of you know they saw the walls of Jericho fall? How many of you know they walked across the parted Red Sea? How many of you know they saw bread fall from heaven? How many of you know they saw the pillar of fire by day or by night and the pillar of cloud by day? They saw more miracles than we have ever seen, and yet guess what happened as soon as Moses left? Out comes the golden calf. So just miracles alone weren't enough to keep them from being carnal.
That's good, Pastor. Come on.
The miracles of God must be based in the Scripture. And that's where we have a lack of balance in the body of Christ today. Either people are hungry for the power and they don't teach the word, or they get in the ditch the other side and the only thing they do is teach the word and there's no demonstration.
Wow. You're right.
Listen, the gospel is not a teaching gospel only. I'm going to show you that in the Word of God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm still in my introduction, by the way. You know, it's Sunday. We all have the day off, so we can spend all day here. Hallelujah, glory to God. You know, it's like heaven. Where else are you going to go? Yeah. When you're there, you're not going to have a better place to go. You're going to stay and enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 2. Amen. Yeah, I made some of you nervous. You know, don't you dare start counting the minutes until noon. Don't do that. Praise the Lord, I'll bust you out. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Paul, the apostle. How many of you know Paul knew the power of God? Yeah, he did. He wrote more than half of the New Testament by the power of God. I think he knew something about it. Performed many miracles and so on. He says this. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom," he said, "declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Dear Lord, do the churches of today need to take that scripture? He said, "I didn't come to know anything among you except preaching the gospel."
Yes, good.
Paul wasn't there to set up their new light system.
No.
He wasn't there to discuss their small group methodology. He didn't show up to deal with the administrative side of things. He said, "When I came to you, I came with a life-changing message." He says, and it wasn't based on just my ability to deliver it. Watch this. Verse 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He's talking about, I was in such reverence. The word fear there is reverence.
Yes.
He was like, I was so in awe of what God told me to do.
Right.
I was trembling just to share that message with you. He said, "In myself, I was weak." And in verse 4, he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "and of power." He said, "When I came to you, I wasn't a good orator. I wasn't there to read you some speech." He said, "I came to preach that would demonstrate the Holy Spirit and God's power." The word demonstration there in the Greek, I love it. You know what it means? It means proof.
Yeah, that's good.
Proof. Aren't you glad that God wants to prove what he says? If God preaches and writes in his word about healing, I want to see proof of it out here. I want to see it manifest.
Yeah. Amen.
I love that. Paul said this preaching, this gospel, is not just a word-only gospel. It's a demonstration gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love that. He said there's proof in this. But yet, sit and consider, you know, the kind of church model of today. It's just show up, hear the sermon, go home. Show up, hear the sermon, go home. Listen, there's demonstrations. The word isn't just something said, it's also demonstrated. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." He said it wasn't some philosophy, it wasn't a church growth method. It was power. He said a power to change, power to work miracles. And in verse 5 is the reason why. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God."
That's right.
Listen, if you're just hanging on the music, then you're basing, you know, you're hanging, you're putting your faith in the wisdom of men. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? We have anointed praise and worship here.
Sure.
But I'm talking about if you just go to a church because you like their music team, that's just the wisdom of men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you go there just for the youth group or for the fellowship night, you know what I mean? Or if you go to the church because of their picnics, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
for their giveaways. You're trusting in the wisdom of men. But if you go there desiring God's power, that's where you put your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's the kind of church that I want to have here. That's the kind of church that you want to have here. A one where the gospel is demonstrated. Listen, you know why? Because the perilous times are demonstrating. The perilous times are in full swing. And you're going to need a demonstration to handle those perilous times. Because like I said, the church infrastructure. You know, I was contacted, and I think I told this story. I'm going to tell it again because it fits right here. Reverend Kevin Durant, many of you know of him. He's been to our church several times. Very influential traveling minister. And he served with Kenneth E. Hagin personally. And he called me the other day, and he said, Pastor Tim, I just have it in my heart that, there's a meeting, that we're going to have in your church at some time. And I said, yeah, that's right. I don't know when that'll be, but it'll happen. And, we don't have a date for that yet or anything. And then he told me something that just, really just concerned my heart. He said, you know what? He's like, we need a church like yours because we've been traveling to all these churches and more and more and more, all these churches want to talk about is their infrastructure. All they want to talk about is their band or their lights or their parking lot. And that's all they want to, nothing wrong with having nice lights and parking lot. Okay? He said, but that's all they care about. And we notice that as we go there, he said, it's not in the atmosphere for miracles to happen. He said, there's no demonstration there. And their ministry has been used in some big demonstrations. Some of you have received from that ministry in that regard. And he said, Pastor, he said, there's so many of those churches that were once walking in that power, they've turned from it, and now the miracles aren't happening there. He said, we need to get to a place that will set the table and prepare the room for miracles. And he said, you're one of the only churches we know that does that. Not to say there isn't others. There are. Okay? But it does. It takes the right environment. It takes the right word being taught. Amen? To be in an environment where God's power can move. Because you cannot deny the power and expect it to happen. Oh, because it's a demonstration gospel. All right, go to Acts. Now, the beginning of my message now, the first point. Praise the Lord. Go to Acts chapter 10. Let's start looking throughout the New Testament of the demonstrations of the gospel. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 10, 38. We're going to start telling you the ways that God wants to demonstrate in our midst. Praise the Lord. Let's not be the Sadducees. Yeah. And it makes me think of Pete, one of your cornier jokes. When Pete says, yeah, you know why they called them the Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. Well, when you don't believe in the power of God, you are going to be sad. Acts 10:38, another familiar scripture here, but it's a demonstration of the gospel. Acts 10:38, Peter speaking here, and he says this. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with
power.
Ooh, got at least maybe 20 of you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with
power.
Jesus came with power. Again, dynamite. Miracle, explosive power. Now, what did that power do? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Doesn't that scripture just make it so clear? Healing God, sickness devil. That doesn't mean if you are sick that you are a devil. We've all faced it. We've all been there. It means that God has a solution. God has an answer for when the devil would try to put those things on our life. Aren't you glad for the answer? We're getting an answer for our life here. When sickness tries to knock on our door, we know that God has anointed Jesus Christ, right, with power, right, to heal and to do good and to heal all those that were oppressed of the devil, because that's what God does. That's what God does. Notice when Jesus brought the gospel, it was not a preaching and teaching gospel only. It had demonstrations with it. healing is one such demonstration. Yes. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. People say, well, that was because it was Jesus. Well, it also carried on with the disciples as well.
That's right.
Yep. See, and then I've heard people say, no, all that stopped with the first apostles. And they went on. Do I need to show you more? I mean, are we still under the impression? Why would you resist God wanting to heal somebody? You say, well, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't? Oh, my goodness. Well, we could go on. We could go over to Acts 11. We could, well, go over. I wasn't planning on going over there, but since you asked, go to Acts 19. Watch the demonstration. But notice we first got to know the scriptures. Once you know that this is what God wants to do, you'll jump in. Acts 19, verse 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles. Guess what? Dunamis. God wrought special dynamite. Yeah. Special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. When's the last time you took a napkin that you had on your in your pocket and threw it at a sick person and it healed them? That's quite the demonstration of God's power. That's power. It's demonstrating. Amen. You can go all through the book of Acts. How about over there, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead.
That's right. There you go.
Right? Right? Remember when his 12 disciples, they came back and said, yeah, it works.
That's right.
And then he sent 70 others all out also, Luke chapter 10.
Yes.
And they came back and they said, Jesus, even the devils are subject to us through your name.
That's right.
They cast out demons, right? Yes. They healed the sick, raised the dead.
That's right.
Wow. But see, we have to first desire and hunger these things. And we have to be a church that we collectively together, we believe these things because we're looking at them in the Word.
Right.
I don't believe that there's an expiration date on that scripture. I don't. I don't. Not at all. People say, well, it went away. People say, well, it went away with the first apostles. Well, Paul wasn't one of the original 12. Paul wasn't. Go over there to Acts chapter 9. Remember when Paul, when his name was Saul of Tarsus, remember he was blind?
Yeah.
Remember who Jesus called on? Ananias.
There you go.
It says Ananias was a disciple of the Lord, meaning he was a believer like you and me.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
And he said, Ananias, go lay your hands on Saul of Tarsus and he'll see.
Yeah.
Remember, Paul was blind for 3 days and God used a simple believer like you and me to lay hands on the sick. Isn't that what Jesus said over there? Over there in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Do we have any believers here today? Right? Right? It says they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That is a demonstrating gospel. And of course, we can't leave out the most important thing up in verse 15. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yep.
What does it say over there in Luke 4:18? When Jesus first started his ministry, he came into the synagogue and he says, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Right? So obviously, the cure to poverty is the gospel. Amen. See, it's a demonstrating, powerful gospel. Go to Romans 1. And of course, we could go to Acts chapter 4. We could go to Acts chapter 5, where people were being healed just by in the shadow of Peter.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm getting Pastor Brad's shadow over here. And see if something good happens. Hallelujah. Seriously, it's a demonstrating gospel. I'm hungry for the power. I don't want to be the generation. The Bible says that the latter house shall be greater than the former. The glory of the latter house will be greater.
That's right. Greater.
I don't want to just live this life and not see the miracle power of God.
Yeah.
Go to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 16. See, I'm telling you, there's hope for you. There's answers for you. You know why? Because the gospel's got power in it.
That's right.
Say, well, man, I'm just depressed and miserable all the time. I got good news for you. The gospel will cure that.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you'll never have a bad thought ever again, but it means that you'll have joy and peace.
That's right.
Say, well, I'm addicted. Well, guess what? So was I.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm free.
Amen.
I was addicted to alcohol. Haven't had a drink since January 18th, 2003. And even then, I had just accepted Jesus just that past year, and I had, I had a lot of stuff in my life that God worked and worked out of me. Why? Because it got replaced with the Word.
Amen.
So, well, don't you ever face cravings and stuff? No, not at all. Not at all. Why? Because something better took its place. Listen, you know, I know what it's like to smoke dope and be addicted to all that stuff. Let me tell you, when the gospel comes in, listen, that stuff will give you a decent feeling for a few minutes. Woo! But when you wake up in the morning, it steals from you. It leaves you worse than it ever found you. The thing with the gospel, it comes in, gives you a different kind of high, and it never steals from you. Never will steal from you. Listen, there is no joy at the bottom of that bottle. No joy in it, but there's a lot of joy in the gospel.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is just teaching and academic and knowing what happened." Oh, wait, I must be reading the wrong Bible. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile."
Right.
He says the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Guess what word is power there? Miracle working ability. All right. He says, "I'm not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Do you know that salvation is more than just going to heaven someday?
Yes.
If the only difference between us and the world is that we go to heaven and they don't, that's a sad testimony.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and get into your Strong's dictionary. You can read the same Greek books that I read and study from. That word salvation there, it means whole, healthy, strong, filled with peace.
Amen.
And I think it's Kenneth Copeland who said it this way: nothing broken, nothing missing. I like that. So you could read that verse this way: "For it, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation." What does that mean? Freedom from sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
"It is the power of God unto healing."
Yes.
"And health."
Yep.
"It is the power of God unto joy and peace." That's what the gospel does. Oh, praise the Lord. So, and you say, well, okay, Pastor, okay. So how do I receive what God's trying to get to me and have for me? It's real simple. You believe it.
Yeah. Right.
You know what you do? This is it. And I say, oh my goodness, it's got to be more difficult than this. It's not. It's just simply this: Father, I receive. You say, Lord, I believe. I receive. Isn't that how you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can anybody in here name one promise that God has ever given that would be better than Jesus? Don't you dare raise your hand and embarrass yourself. But can you name any promise or blessing that has ever existed in the universe that would be greater than receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior? No. It is inexplicable. It is unimaginable to think that God is a divine parent who let go of his divine son, who did no wrong, sacrificed him on our account to win us, who we were doing everything wrong. That was what God did. It's an unimaginable gift. It is unthinkable. We don't even know how much it hurt the heart of God to see his son being handed over to pedophiles, to be handed over to murderers. And then the Bible says that he suffered on this earth and then descended and spent 3 days in hell, where the devil and every demon in that place piled on him, right? And then he rose again 3 days later, once our sins were justified. Can you name any gift that could ever compare to that? Healing doesn't compare to that. Prosperity doesn't compare to that. protection, your marriage, your children. Nothing compares to what God did. He won us with his love. That's why I serve him. Because he did the unthinkable. And he did it for me. I want to do things his way, not because of rules, but because of love.
That's right.
Because I love him for what he did for me. And so let me just answer this question. If God gave you Jesus, how much easier would it be to believe for healing? You've already received the highest gift. If he gave you Jesus, would he not give you healing in your body? Or could you not call upon him? Right? Think about that. Would not God help restore your marriage? Wouldn't God help you to live in peace and freedom from depression and anxiety? Yeah. You know what? We have a scripture for that, don't we? It's called Romans 8:32. For if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also in Christ freely, everyone say freely, give us all things? All things. If he gave you the highest and the best, how much easier is it to receive the lower blessing? How much easier? I mean, seriously. You know, if someone, let's think about it this way, all right? If a bank allowed you to borrow, let's say, $100,000 for your house, would you panic to go and ask them for $1,000? If they gave you $100,000, there's a good chance that they would loan you one more thousand. If God gave you Jesus, how much easier would it be to believe him? Father, you already gave me the highest and best. So, Father, I believe I receive. Yeah. It's that easy. I dare you. You know, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. Joy is part of the promise of God. You can receive it. Father, I thank you. I receive the joy of the Lord. What is that? Giving God permission to move in your life. Given that power, permission to flow, oh my goodness, and I have many, 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 many scriptures. We're not going to get to all of them. But just for the sake of time, can you bring up 1 Corinthians 4:20? 1 Corinthians 4:20, here's another good verse. I love this scripture because it tells us what God wants to do in our midst. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Meaning it's not just a teaching gospel only. The kingdom of God wants to manifest. Amen. Remember what Jesus said? He said, go and heal the sick, cast out devils. He said, if I cast out demons, he said, you know the kingdom of God has come unto you.
That's right.
But why do people, myself included before, I used to freak out when I would see these things. I mean, honestly, it would just absolutely fight my denominational mind. It would just bug me out when I would see the preacher lay hands on somebody and maybe they fall over or something like that. Those things used to just, oh man, you know, that's just not my thing or whatever. Well, it is my thing now. Because this is not just a preaching gospel only. It's not just in words. It's also in power. Demonstrations of the Spirit. Are you hungry for it? Say, well, I don't need a miracle. Well, someone next to you might.
Yeah, sure.
They might need your faith.
That's right.
They might need your faith. They might need you showing up to church saying, Father, I thank you. You know, when I drive down my road and come into this church and getting ready, I mean, I pray, and a lot of times it's the same exact way. I thank you, Father, for the manifestations of the Spirit. We hunger, we crave, we desire. I thank you, Father, that your people are fed and nourished in good, sound doctrine.
Amen.
Father, we yield to the Holy Ghost. This is not my service or our service. This is your service. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, are you going to crave and hunger and desire for the power?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that was real convincing. Yeah. Are you going to contend for the power? Yeah. Well, guess what? Yeah doesn't get the power. Some people, they say, Pastor, why is this church so responsive and everything shouting and praising? I've had people come to me and say, you know, I like your church, but man, it's so vocal, it kind of weirds me out. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because the power loves responsiveness. Absolutely. If you want to see a place that becomes a miracle room, it's because the people are responsive. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, I guess I'll have to take you back to the Old Testament then real quickly. Go to 1 Chronicles. Go over there real fast. I mean 2 Chronicles. You know, 1st, 2nd, they're neighbors. Chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. This is how the power operates. I dare you at home tonight. I dare you to take your need before God and say, I believe I receive. Don't be the Sadducees like, well, I don't know if I believe in that. Then you won't have it. Say, Father, I believe I receive. Yeah. Yep. Father, I believe in healing. Father, I believe that you prosper me and take care of all my needs. Father, I believe you're the strength of my life. I believe that you're my joy and my righteousness. You have to say it. You listening to me say that for you isn't going to work. It's going to take your participation. 2 Chronicles 5, 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard. God loves to hear us together. In praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice all together with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, all saying, they were all saying this, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. You mean they fell over? Oh, if that happened in the Old Testament, why not in the New? For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God so much, it was tangible. The power of God moved in. Why? Because they were all saying, the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. It wasn't just the one guy up in front. They were all participating. Do you want to see the power of God move like this? Either, you know, I don't believe the world needs a church that is clever with methodology. The world needs to see the God who answers by fire. They need to know that they can get answers in the house of God and stop playing church. You know, well, we go there and we hear a nice little three-point sermon and the pastor shares a poem that he got off the internet and same old dusty religion. And we've gotten away because we deny the power of God. They all said, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled. Go to Acts chapter 4 since I'm taking more of your time. Since I've got you mad at me, I might as well rub it in. Praise the Lord. See, I love you. That's why I share the entirety of the gospel. I'm gonna share one more. All right. Acts 4:23. This is after John and Peter were beaten and persecuted because of Jesus. This is how you act in the face of trials. Are you ready? And being let go, they went to their own company, their local church. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, the whole church, heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They all said this, Lord, you are God which has made heavens and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel will gather together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel was determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, when they had spoken, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice they prayed, Father, behold thy threatenings, grant unto thy servants that with boldness we'd speak your word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus. Signs and wonders. Oh, glory to God. Don't believe me yet. Well, go to Romans 15. We're off the notes. We've been off them for a while. We're off the chart. Actually, you know what? I do have these scriptures on. That scripture is on my notes. Not that last one, but this one actually is. Maybe that's what reminded me of it. Go to Romans chapter 15 and go over to verse 19. I love this. Where has this gone in the churches in America? Look what Paul says. He says, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Listen, minus the signs and wonders, you can't fully preach the gospel of Christ. Without the signs and wonders, you can't fully preach. Listen, I fully preach the gospel. I fully. People say, where's that term, full gospel, come from? I don't like that. Well, there it is in the Bible for you. I believe in the full gospel. I believe in a saving gospel, a miracle-working gospel, a healing gospel, a providing for gospel, a protecting gospel, a joy gospel, a strength gospel, a peace gospel. I believe that the gospel is the only thing that exists for humanity that is all things to us. Amen. It's the only thing that can provide everything for us, spirit, soul, and body. It's the only thing that can fill the empty hole in a man's heart. It's the only thing. He says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Don't you dare get into the mindset like, well, it's just preach. All it is just teaching, teach, 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 which, praise God, we focus on a lot of teaching here. However, don't resist the demonstrations, because they happen here. They're going to happen more. Our job is to hunger and desire, not to just listen to a sermon like this, but now you know what God wants to do. This is a miracle room. And if you have friends and families that are facing illness, depression, bipolarism, addictions, whatever it is, get them here. Get them here, not because it's me, but because the Word of God, and it will demonstrate in our midst. God will show His love for them, and He'll give them answers for their life. Did you get some help here today? You know what to do. Father, I believe. If you believe in the power, it's going to come to you. You know? Yep. You're going to need to be responsive, though, just like in Acts 4. Father, I thank you. You know, you ever wondered why this is such a responsive church? Because that's what the early church was.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and glorify